Welcome to the Musicians Insider. I'm your host, Aaron Cronus, and today we have Denise Santos, who has done a lot of pretty interesting things in the Los Angeles scene. So why don't we let this Emmy-winning musician based out of LA tell us a little bit about how she's gotten where she is and what she's up to.
Yeah, so thank you for having me. And as you mentioned, I am an Emmy-winning composer in LA, and I've basically what I do is I write music for films and TV shows. And I've been a musician my whole life, and composing for film and TV wasn't really an accessible option. Like, I had no idea it existed as a job. I think as a lot of my colleagues would say as well. So I kind of found my way into the film TV scoring world through a former bandmate of mine who, at the time when we were gigging a lot and hanging out a lot, he was working on a short film, and kind of that like opened my eyes to like, oh, as musicians, we can actually do this. Like, we already are making music. Like, it probably wouldn't be too different writing music as a band, especially because we were a post-rock band, so it was instrumental, very cinematic. And then I saw how like he directly applied what he knew how to do as a post-rock band member into film scoring. So that opened my eyes to this whole industry, and I've been doing it for like 10 years now, more than 10 years. Yeah.
Well, that's great. So like, for someone who wants to get into that world, what's the entry point for that? Like, where do you go from band to film score? Like, what's the first step that you find?
Well, what I did was I basically, first I learned production, because I think as a composer, you need to know music production, especially when you're starting out. Like, you won't have big budgets to hire a score mixer, and you won't have budgets to hire an engineer. So you need to be able to do all of that. So I studied production. I did a la carte classes. Like, I took a private production class from someone in the Philippines who was teaching it. And then I also did a Berkeley online. So once I learned how to use my DAW, and that's how I like really felt like, okay, let's do this. I think I can try pitching myself as a film composer.
And I was going to ask you, what platforms do you use? And you threw the DAW word. So I'm like, okay, she knows the terminology.
Yeah. So I use Logic.
Okay.
I was taught in Logic in that like private production class that I took. So I have found it so useful to music composition. So I've stuck to it, because like the longer you stick to your DAW, I feel like the better you get at it. I'm not one to like give up on Logic because it doesn't do something for me. And you can always like, you know, there's always updates and there's always new cool features that we don't probably know about. So like a simple Google search sometimes like saves my problems.
And at the end of the day, it's just WAV files.
Yeah, exactly.
But
there's a lot of tricky MIDI things, but
so I use Ableton Live, but that's because I use it when I perform. So, mm-hmm. You know, in the studio, we're generally in a studio, and we do use Ableton. We also use Pro Tools for vocals sometimes, but in general, when I play live, we use Ableton Live because it allows me to launch it all. Oh, it's like Ableton Live along with Setlist from Henry Strange Electronics, and just you can just program your set. Like, I play alone. I play guitar and sing, and I have everything's with me. I'd like to have a drummer on stage, but it's hard to get people in, I don't know, just getting it going. But okay, so now you mentioned, I did see that you're working on a couple short films, but I'd like to hear the evolution of how you got here, if you want to keep telling me more about what you've been doing, and how, where did Denise become this LA film person, score person? How did it happen?
Well, so I'm from the Philippines originally. So I started there. I started as a freelancing composer in the Philippines. And one of my mentors told me, hey, you should like maybe check out the States, like study or whatever. Because like I said, I only took a la carte classes. I didn't have like a music degree. So he advised me to check out some programs in the US. And then I did. And that's how I landed in LA. So I took a film scoring certificate at UCLA Extension. It was like a 2 years, 2.5 years program. And it just taught me everything I needed to know to get started in LA, like learning how to work with MIDI and learning how to score to picture and just like really great foundational things outside of music production.
Gotcha.
And also orchestration. Yeah, how could I forget? Orchestration and conducting. And they're all like one or two classes. It's not like a full-on degree, right? So from that program, I was able to grab an internship at Remote Control Productions, which is Hans Zimmer's studio. And from that internship, I was able to land an assistant job at Bleeding Fingers, which is Hans and Sony's collective of composers. And then from there, I was promoted to full-time in-house composer. And that's how, when I started working on these nature documentaries, and that's how I got my Emmy.
And for the and that's and congratulations, that's amazing. So for those listeners who may be a little younger and whatever, could you tell a little bit about who Hans Zimmer is and why he's so important?
Yeah, I feel like Hans Zimmer really like changed the sound of film music. Like he introduced this like edgy, synth heavy sound as opposed to like what we all love and know as like the John Williams sound, the John Powell, all the other greats. But Hans kind of came in and did Lion King, and for a Disney movie, it's like I'm also for a Disney movie in general. Lion King was like pretty dark compared to all the other Disney movies around it. So, like, Hans was like a really good person to complement this kind of just darkness. So, he came in with like big drums, epic drums, and just like epic vocals. So, but also, Lion King is a very old reference for the young people. Let's see. I want to say maybe Inception or Interstellar. I hope that is relatable to the younger crowd.
And Inception was epic, just every level, of that
Yeah,
thing.
exactly. And the Batman, Dark Knight, like he kind of created this Brahms, what you hear a lot in trailers nowadays, this big like boom, like Hans not didn't create it, but like he popularized it,
Got it.
basically. Because he
Very
mixed it with
cool.
a lot of like synthesis and brass. So I feel like he really like changed the sound of movie music. And
And was
yeah.
he doing it, some of the television shows too in the 80s? I think, did he do Miami Vice or was that somebody else?
I think that's somebody else.
Yeah. But I like that whole synth sound of the 80s. I'm also big on Harold Faltermeyer and the Axel
Oh
Foley
yeah.
stuff.
It wasn't that recent collaboration really, really cool that they did with Lauren Balfe as well. It was like for Top Gun.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
I was impressed with that, and I think they've got another Mission Impossible Tom Cruise movie about to blow up right now.
Yeah.
I want to see the new Indiana Jones one as well, but I haven't really had a chance yet.
Oh, there's so much to see in the coming weeks. Like there's the Oppenheimer Barbie. Like there's so much right now. I mean, it's summer.
Finally, the like it feels like it's this it's just finally movies are back, everything's just finally back. It's been like I left LA in March 2020.
Oh my goodness.
And came back to
Wow.
Canada after 13 years. I miss it. I miss the skateboard parks. I miss everything. But it's great to be near family. So that's the thing. Canada is it's a whole other thing. But anyway, that's pretty cool. So I guess if you have any advice for people, this is the Musicians Insider. I do like to try to get some tidbits for people that may be interested in trying to get to where you're getting or to just to get to LA, right? Like sometimes it's just to get somewhere, right? You don't need to be in Los Angeles or New York or Nashville, but it's good to go. It's good to network. Are there any
So,
events you attend, like NAMM or other events?
yes, when I'm like not busy working on something, I go to events. So NAMM is definitely one. I went this year. I used to go like every year, and then I got hired and had no time. And then, so like now this year I had the time to go, so I go to that, and then I sign up to a lot of like local composer groups. So
that's
but
great.
The thing with this is like, thankfully, because of the pandemic, all the events have also gotten used to having like online versions. So you don't have to be in LA or New York to be able to participate.
Well, today I had the reason I was like a couple minutes before this is because I actually had another event double booked at the same time. That was a local thing that they just said it's going to happen today. And I looked at the time and I'm like, why is it giving me reminders about it twice? I'm like, oh, I have two things at the same time.
Oh, gosh.
So many. And we have Indie Week here in Toronto. Like there's a lot of musician types that are working together to make, like we have Canadian Music Week, North by Northeast Festival. Like it's sort of like the our version of South by Southwest, North by Northeast. I don't know. I miss the US conventions. Actually, it's the industry here is so much smaller, but it's also kind of nice. Everyone does know each other. It's a little strange. I do miss thing.
Like, yeah, wherever you go, like you can always like make friends with the local community.
Well, I feel like I should do an Airbnb for a month in LA and come back and just get a bunch of networking done, do that once a year kind of thing, and just get it over with.
Yes.
So that's kind of, I guess what I'm saying is I think it's good for people to know that you do have to go where it's happening to sometimes be in it.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Like you don't have to live there.
But you have to go sometimes. Yes. In person means a lot more. It just meeting people face to face makes such a difference, especially now that we're back out of the pandemic and you can do it again.
Exactly. And one thing I found very helpful is going to film festivals. Like that's the best use of your time. If you were to travel to LA or New York or any other like film hub, go for a film festival and then you'll meet the right people. And it's like a really good use of your time and energy.
So we have TIFF here in Toronto, TIFF, Toronto International Film Festival. And then we have Sundance in Park City. And then there's Cannes. And then I think there's an AFM market. I'm not sure what else in LA.
Well, in LA, there's a lot of like micro festivals. Like there's like the, I recently went to the Asia Pacific Film Festival. So LAAPPFF. There's a lot of double letters in that festival. But there's that. And then there's the Mammoth Film Festival, mm-hmm. which is like 4 hours from LA.
I think it's eight. It's far. Because I remember going snowboarding there. It's like really far. Well, maybe that's because we were on a bus.
Yes. Because we drove, my husband and I drove there. And I don't, if
maybe
it
five
were
and
eight,
a half, 6 hours, maybe.
Yeah, it could be more like that. But yeah, there's a lot of little festivals. And no matter where it is, like you will, guaranteed, you will meet filmmakers.
I met a lot of very eclectic and interesting people at Burning Man Festival, actually. That's a very interesting place to meet crazy people.
That one I haven't. How was that experience?
Well, we've gone for like 10 years in a row. We run the skateboard camp there and I have friends who make really cool art cars and things. So it's the art is incredible, the big art. It really depends. Like there's 100,000 people pretty much there. So I haven't been in 3 years. It'd be kind of nice to go back. I think that'd be good. Hoping festivals.
It's like every, like you'll meet a lot of creative people there. So it's like also a great hub of networking.
And there's a bit of a barrier to entry. Like you kind of have to be able to afford it and also know people. And then placement is a whole other issue. But yeah.
But yeah, definitely go to things. I think that's the key point here. Like go out.
Yes, I would have to say yes. And I had another guest on just recently. And my takeaway from our discussion was for a musician to play out, play live as much as you can. And for this stuff, it's go to events as much as possible, get involved, network, meet people in the industry. And you never know who you're going to meet. Be nice to everyone. And what else can they do? Well, can they go and see some of your movies or some of your, what else have you been working on? Do you want to plug away a bit? Let me know what a website is or some stuff that you're doing.
Well, I am in the middle of wrapping a feature film that I'm co-scoring with my husband. And it's a sci-fi thriller, but we don't have a release date yet. But I would say just watch out for it. It's called Parallel. and it's directed by Kurosh Ashari. So yeah, it's a really, really great story, great film. The acting is incredible. The music is pretty good.
Parallel. And is it coming on a specific network or all of them?
We don't know yet. I
Gotcha.
don't think so.
Well, I wish you well on that one and good luck, because it's hard every time you make up something and you're just like waiting for it to happen, and then it becomes bigger than you once all the
Yes.
people are part of it. But then the final MP4
Exactly.
exists.
Then there's also, well, there is a Netflix documentary that I did and recently got nominated for an Emmy again,
Nice.
called Island of the Sea Wolves. It's a nature documentary about the wildlife in Vancouver Island. So yeah, that one's on Netflix, and I co-scored it with my former colleague, Laurentia Editha.
Is there like some famous narrator on it, or who's talking
Oh,
through
of
it?
course, Will Arnett. And his voice is just like, I mean, I know him from Arrested Development, BoJack Horseman, and just his comedy. And then seeing him, I mean, hearing him narrate this nature documentary is like very refreshing, and it makes sense. Like, I mean, some parts of me, like, I laugh, even though maybe it wasn't meant to be funny, just because I associate him with comedy.
Kind of like
But
when Snoop Dogg does
yeah,
it.
but that one feels like a little more intentionally like comedy. But
Right, because it's
if
hard to take him seriously. But yeah, I
it
Will Arnett, that's great. I was
yes.
just guessing that you had someone interesting. I didn't know. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Anything else coming up? Any other productions or things that you're hoping to do, or is there something you want to do that you haven't had a chance to?
Well, I've talked about this many times, and like I really want to do more like dark comedy, dramedy films, even TV. Like I watch TV a lot. So like when Beef came out, have you seen Beef on Netflix?
Oh, that's with the two in the car that I have a couple. Yeah, no, I know that. I haven't seen all of it. No, but I know what you're talking about. And a lot of people really, really like that. Who is
Yeah.
in it?
It's Ali Wong. She's like she plays the lead who gets who's like has a really short temper, and then her counterpart is Steven Yeun.
Yeah, Steven Young from Walking Dead, right? Yeah.
So
I like that.
that's such a good show. So like I would love to do something like that, or something like Black Mirror would be really cool.
Black Mirror has some really, really good stuff on it. And I also like Breaking Bad, stuff like that. Those were really, really good. And I felt like I was on top of those when they came out. I'm a big Rick and Morty fan too. I don't know. It's kind of not done as much, but I really love that too. It's always a Halloween costume. It's like something from Rick and Morty. Okay.
You have so many options to choose from.
It's funny though, the Los Angeles Halloween costume stuff is different than the Canada one. Here, people are bundled up trying to stay warm. There, they're all half naked walking around Hollywood Boulevard. It's like, who can wear the least amount of clothes for a Halloween costume? It's like, oh my
You
goodness.
know what though? It's like it's actually cold here, and maybe it's just the tropical girl in me, but
It's
like
not cold.
it's oh, it is
No,
just the tropic in me,
there
so
are seasons in LA. There's definitely winter and summer there, and it's a different thing. Like you wear a layer, an extra hoodie. You don't wear shorts
yeah,
anymore. You stop wearing white or stuff. But I mean,
that's true.
here you have to wear like three hoodies and a jacket and a coat. Like, I'm just happy that I have put all that winter stuff away for a little bit. It is beautiful here though. The pool's nice. Everything's great. We're in good weather. There are some fires. Sorry about that. Yeah,
Oh
nothing.
yeah, that's right. Well,
Not my fault.
it's your stuff, but it does it get really hot over there?
Yeah.
Like how
It's
hot? Like
well,
what's
it's
the
like New York.
Okay. Oh yeah, I
So
see.
think New York in the summer, how annoying it gets.
Yeah, I
And
see.
I've lived there and yeah, I can't even do that. So but we're up on Georgian Bay. It's pretty sweet. So
Nice.
but do you have any websites you want to promote or any projects you want me to put down here in the link below just for our readers to go further, deeper on anything?
Yeah, so I do have a website. It's denise-santos.com.
Perfect,
And
right there.
yeah, up there I have like samples of my work, and it's like categorized into like genres, and they can listen to those.
and get an idea of what someone like you does professionally and how they would maybe like your, what your calling card looks like, your website. So that's cool.
Exactly. And it has like a little nice picture of my studio. So you'll get to see some of my instruments. And
and what are your main instruments? I see you have a lot of guitars behind you, which is very cool.
Yes. So my main instrument is piano, actually.
Excellent.
I do play guitar as well, but I'm not like virtuosic in it. But I love the guitar. I love tone. And that's why I have many guitars, because like I can't get the same tone out of everyone. So depending on the film, I'll switch it up. So like I have a bunch of, I have this baritone Dan Electro right here. I don't know if you can see it. I was just using this recently.
You know, there's a whole subculture of Dan Electro people who have Dan Electro pedals, and they just, it's like Apple tards kind of.
Oh my gosh. Well, I am not part of that subculture. I just,
but it's interesting to delve into that, because you do have the guitar. You might want to grab a pedal and then they go together.
Yeah, maybe. Now that you've opened my mind, we'll see. But yeah, so I have that. And then I also play like percussion. I have a cajon, I have a tambourine, I have this like Filipino like bamboo thing. Just like you strum it. Was that too loud?
Oh, very cool. No,
like a buzzer.
I can't hear it. I think it's being noise canceled.
That's weird.
Nothing.
Zoom, what you doing?
Well, you have to turn off original audio to make things work like that. This is one of the things I got. These are fun. It's just an Ableton Push.
Ooh, so you use that for your live?
Sometimes you can use it to launch samples or to play like arpeggiated stuff, and then you can slide up and down on it. It's like basically just a keyboard, but you can program it so that certain scales are only the notes showing, which is amazing. Because then you're just playing the scale only, and you can't miss the note. Like it's pretty cool for solos.
There's a keyboard that it's called Lumi that does that. It's by the Roly people.
Roly. I don't know. I don't know if I've seen it, but I've seen a lot of weird ones.
This is cool. So I have something else by Roly. It's their C board.
Yeah, I've seen that. They had those at NAMM a couple years ago.
They make the Lumi, I believe, is another keyboard that they make, but it lights up.
Very cool.
Thing with the chords.
I use my MIDI Fighter to play the next track in my live show. Stop. Play up, down, and I use set list, and that just opens the set list window, and this lights up, and it's kind of fancy, but it's just hitting play on Ableton.
How many stuff do you have when you're doing live? So you have your sequencer, you have
that. So I actually have an Axe FX, a wireless guitar, my in-ears, and then this just goes into a Universal Audio sound card inside there. So from the Apollo Twin, I can go out into my mixer, which is sitting over there right now, but usually it's in the back. And then I can go left and right into an iRig Duo. So I can go live and stream it. Or I can go into four outs to the board. So I have stereo, like the tracks, the Ableton stuff, and then the guitar and the vocal. Vocal, I can use auto-tune on the onboard processing. And for the guitars, I use the Axe FX, and it sounds incredible.
Ooh.
So I highly recommend an Axe FX or like a Kemper or something like that. What are you using for amps?
Yeah, I've messed with a Kemper and I really love it.
They're a little weird shaped. They're weird, like form factor wise, the Kempers.
Cute.
They don't fit in anything.
Well,
they take up a whole space for themselves, but the Axe FX is two space rack, so pretty straightforward.
Kemper has like a portable one, and they have a
But like I said, it needs its own area in the studio now. Like it needs its own table. Like mine's sort of tucked into this rack, which still breaks my back.
Oh, God.
But I also have a PC that I run. It's just a Lightning to Ethernet. And that runs to my PC, which runs Resolume, which I run all my visuals on. So I can actually have any bar I want, have any clip come on using Resolume. So I learned how to do that with my crew from LA. I have some really helpful people.
Wow.
So you can run Ableton with visuals, and I can play my video live with to the video, because
we
shot.
Can you trigger different parts of the video or just?
Well, I have it timed so I can actually play my own song right along to my own live video that we shot at a club in Toronto called The Horseshoe. And it's kind of neat to see playing. So I can play it live on TikTok along to the video.
That's so cool.
Have you done any TikTok?
I love TikTok. I love watching but I don't like I've posted like three videos and
so if you were to talk about what you do, like behind the scenes of someone who does what you do, I think it would be do very well because you have this privy insight to a world behind the scenes a bit, you know, where you just kind of give them little hints of some of the things before they can come out and people will love it.
You know what? I used to do it quite a lot, even pre-TikTok, like on Instagram. I would just post like videos of like me showing them a cool trick that I've done. And then I just kind of got so overwhelmed with work and then I stopped doing it. But I may reconsider.
Well, let me know if you do and we'll follow you. That's fun. I play guitar a lot with a bunch of guys. We have a group called the Mad Men of Metal. That's our hashtag. And we just go on usually tonight, Friday nights or whatever. And people just take turns. You know how you can have a box with different people and you can make their box bigger for whoever's playing at the time. It's good to learn that. And I'm trying to get to 10,000 so I can then start maybe making some money. But in Canada, we don't have access to the creator fund that Americans do. So it's not as lucrative here. Yeah. TikTok doesn't pay us the same way.
Oh,
yeah. A lot of people don't know that, but Canada's not on the payroll for the creator fund for TikTok.
Okay.
That's why I was like, if they ban it, which I don't know if they will. I really hope they don't, because it's got a lot of free speech stuff on it. But
I know. They were talking about banning it here in the US, and then it just like never
they
happened.
Seem to be more focused on abortion, but
yeah. And many other things.
But well, we'll talk about it on the political podcast. This is the Musician's Insider, where we don't talk about that stuff because our fans might be into that zone and we need them to keep buying our records. Although no one buys records, all they do is rent music on Spotify at a very low rate.
Gosh, that's so sad. I still buy records. I love
Good
that.
For you. And it's hard because now it's like to make money, you really have to get a licensing sync or something because you can't really, no one's really spending money on music. They just pay Spotify for their rentals so they don't have commercials.
Or are you like, I mean, do people, I'm sure people still make money off of live shows, but not as
live
much.
Shows, merch. Merch and live shows is mainly the thing that's going on. And it's kind of hard like now because everyone's got the same thing. Mm-hmm. But to stand above the crowd, you got to do something interesting. But so I will say, Denise, it's been wonderful having you on the show today. Is there anything else you want to tell me about that I haven't touched on at all?
I mean, I would just love for you to check out our nature documentary. It's 3 episodes, and just listen to Will Arnett's soothing voice.
And what's the name of it again? And when does it air? Or is it out now?
It's out. It's called Island of the Sea Wolves.
Excellent. All right. Well, I'll put a link to that.
Watch out for the Emmy ceremony whenever it happens. And
well, I wish you well with another Emmy. Congratulations on the one you've earned. I'm sure you've worked very hard for it, and I appreciate having you on to tell my audience, you know, some advice for musicians and other creative people that want to do things in LA and how you've moved there. That's great. So I wish you well in the future. And, you know, you're always, if you have something coming up, you want to come back, let me know. We'll talk about it again.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for having me. And I will see you on the TikTok.
All right. Thanks, Denise.
All right.
This has been the Musician's Insider, and I'm Cronus.